Commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a Wednesday, but I got a political guest. What the heck? We have our own, Fairbankson, Lieutenant Governor, candidate with Mayor Dave Bronson for governor. Josh Church, good seeing you. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It warmed up. Sunny
ever
out
since
there.
You got announced, it warmed up. Yes, that is right. I love you, man. It's warm.
It is warm. And hopefully we can turn the corner on this state and you know, warm up the economy a little bit.
It's January. It's what happens. December and January and February. It's, you know, it's just what happens in Fairbanks.
I got my snow machines out, took the kids around, putted in the yard the other day. So that was fun. I was happy. It'd been so cold. I'm embarrassed to say, but that was the first time I got the snow machines out this winter, you know, but the kids had a good time. So,
well, you know, I'm so glad you came in because you just don't, you know, you're the first Fairbankson who's been targeted as a lieutenant governor on a ticket. And so the first thing I want to do is have you discuss your background, where you came from, who you are, what you are, and why you are.
I was chuckling because the ADN, their headline was Bronson picks Fairbanks and man. Yeah. The people were a little chuckling, like, you know, you could say his name, or he's a combat veteran, or a businessman, or financial planner.
Marine.
Or something. Yeah, exactly.
Once a Marine, always Marine.
But you know.
But no!
The Fairbanks man. So yeah, I'm the first Fairbanks man that's been targeted. So I think that's kind of like being a Florida man, but just a little colder.
Are you the first lieutenant governor of Canada with a full facial hair?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, there was a couple of Fairbanks lieutenant governors, but they were back in the 80s or 90s, Miller, but I didn't look to see if they had facial hair.
Presently running.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't know if...
These are big, deep questions.
These are deep questions. I think for lieutenant governor, yeah, I don't think Kevin... McKinley has a beard, does he? Although he might. He retired now, so he might be just growing it out.
And I don't think Showers has one. No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So tell us about yourself.
Okay. So, yeah, for those that don't know me, my family is third generation Alaskan. So we came up here from Wisconsin in the 30s or so. My dad was born in Anchorage. He went to college up here in the 70s at UAF. I went to college at UAF, dropped out of school, and decided, you know what, I'm going to go work back in the family construction business, worked up on the slope, and then got tired of that on the oil fields, joined the Marine Corps, did 9 years with Marine Reconnaissance and Special Operations. Then I got out and I came back to Fairbanks.
Reconnaissance and Special Operations.
Yeah, so I was with 2nd Reconnaissance Battalion.
So basically, you were bad to the bone.
I served with a lot of really tough guys, yeah. I was just too stubborn to know when to quit, you know. So
that's a Marine.
Yeah, so I did the first deployment to Iraq, and the second deployment to Afghanistan was 2nd Reconnaissance Battalion. And then the next 4.5 years or so, I spent with 3rd Raider Battalion, which is Marine Special Operations. And so we went to Central America, we went to Latin America, we went to Africa, and kind of bounced around everywhere a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, and then came back to Alaska.
What year did you come back to Alaska?
2016.
Okay.
Finished my degree, and went back to working construction, started a small business, bought some real estate property and stuff, and now I've got a commercial property. And then I went into investment management as a registered investment advisor in 2020.
And with all the stuff that you're doing now, being dad, running for lieutenant governor, running a business, having property, you have to test for your certified financial planner designation.
Yeah.
And you got to get that done too.
I got my WNCP a couple of years ago, which is like a little bit shorter version of the CFP. But over the last couple of years, I've been working on the CFP. And so I kind of told my bosses that, hey, you know, I'm going to work a little bit less with clients the next couple of months, slow down just my work, not take on extra things because I got to study for the board. And the board can be a little challenging test. So they said, okay. And then somewhere along the line, I added a little additional commitment of running for lieutenant governor. So I don't
know. So how did that metastasize and come about?
Yeah.
That's a big word for me, metastasize.
Yeah. We're Wednesday morning. We're hitting the hard words. I'm not going to follow that one. So how did that come about? Mayor Bronson is leading in the polls. All the polls say the same thing. He's got next to Nancy Dahlstrom, who I don't think has a great chance of winning. He has the record of receiving the most votes of anyone in the state. I mean, he governed as mayor for half the state, basically, right? The Anchorage population is pretty big. But he's a Southeast and he's a Anchorage mayor, you know? So he knows there's another half of the state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the interior is the hub of the logistical support, the hub of development for most of the North Slope and the interior, right? So he really knew he needed to find someone that had interior experience. He wanted someone that that was younger. I'm 39, so as my friend told me, he said, it's smart getting into politics because politics and ham radio are about the only two professions you can be almost 40 and be considered young. So so Bronson.
Oh, okay.
So Bronson was looking for some things, and some of the biggest problems that face the state, the permanent fund, all our budget fights, the economic development, these are financial issues. So he's got a background, 20 years, lieutenant colonel, you know, he's got a lot of leadership experience, but I bring a little bit of some business knowledge and some investment management. So that helps complete the picture that he was looking for.
And you're from the interior.
Yeah, and I'm from the interior. Yep, yeah. And I think part of it, he knows it's not just me he's picking, right? It's my family's been here a long time, and there's people like you and my brother, and there's so many people that I know in this community that I can go to and say, hey, you know mining, you know timber, you know commercial building, you know real estate investment, and there's all this network of people that can bring all that information to the governor's team. He's got all that contact in Anchorage, mm-hmm. but he needs that circle of experience because it's not just running election. It's when we win, we have to make sure we put the right people in all the positions across the state because personnel is policy, right? So we've got to, I mean, we were at the Laundry House Gang not that long ago, and they were giving him names.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, and so they were giving him names of who they think should be, you know, in charge of the fish, and that maybe we should break that up where fish and game should be separate. And so a lot of the experience that people, leaders in the interior have, I'm going to help coordinate them and bring them to Bronson's campaign and team.
This is what I tell every person who's going into political office. When it comes to fish and wildlife management, accessing trails, mm-hmm. things like that. Listen to the Laundry House Gang. This is what they do. This is what they know.
Yep.
They have so many resources, so many educated people. That's your go-to. Whatever they think, that's your policy.
And that's kind of it. Like he's an Anchorage guy and he does well and he knows the people there. But I mean, I was impressed. I was down there with him the other day at the Sullivan Arena, and the prior assembly wanted to tear that thing down. And so that would have cost millions to tear down. It was mm-hmm. tens of millions to build. And one of the owners of the team there comes up to me and he's telling me about how the Jumbotron was broken and the government was saying it was going to cost $500,000 to fix it, and they were bickering with them back and forth, and they wouldn't let them lower it down because it might break, and then they wouldn't be able to get it up. They finally convinced them to lower it down, and they finally convinced the city people to let this private firm take a look at it. Well, the guy fixed it with his MacBook Pro, you know, does some sort of reboot, costs nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And so getting the right people in and knowing the right people makes all the difference, right? And so having those advisors like the Laundry House Gang,
yeah,
and the other people in the interior is going to be crucial to good government.
I just don't foresee Mayor Bronson and yourself being bureaucrats.
No, I mean,
I wasn't a bureaucrat.
Yeah, you did a good job as mayor. You really did. I was very, very impressed with what we got done. And it mm-hmm. takes more than one administration. It's going to take a long time to get things fixed. But you, in one term, you can get things pointed in the yeah. right direction.
Yeah, turned around.
Yeah. And Dave, he's only 15% politician. He was 20 years as a combat veteran and as a pilot, lieutenant colonel, he was a commercial pilot for a long time too, and he was only 3 years as a mayor. So, and I've never been a politician, so we're not going to govern as bureaucrats.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Josh Church, Lieutenant Governor candidate, with Mayor Bronson, Governor candidate, in the studio with me. You want to call in after the break? We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Attention Golden Valley Electric members who live in Districts 1, 2, and 3. Submit your application now to serve on the GVEA Board of Directors. As director for your district, you can make a difference. You'll be helping to shape decisions that will impact your community and the future of your cooperative. Applications must be received no later than Wednesday, January 28th at 5 p.m. Apply online. See details at gvea.com/elections. Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
High of 10 above today. Under mainly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 3 below tonight, mainly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 8 above tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. A mix of clouds and sunshine and dry Friday and Saturday with highs in the single digits above zero. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Josh Church, candidate for Lieutenant Governor with a team. They get to do a team now with Mayor Bronson. You know, out of everything that ranked choice voting has that we're going to hopefully turn over, having a governor choose his lieutenant governor is about the only good thing that came about in this, my thought.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be running if it wasn't the case. I'm running only because he asked me, and I analyzed it and said, hey, he has the best chance.
And in a weak moment, you said yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he has the best
chance. Ah, darn.
Well, yeah, we talked about it beforehand, my wife and I, and said, if we get asked, we're going to say no. And so I said no, but I really think he has the best chance of winning, and I'm really worried that what's going to happen is like when Nick Begich ran after Don Young the first time. Mm-hmm. There was 50 people, 48 people or whatever in that field, and it split the vote so much that we got the wrong person in for 4 years, and we had to have some bad policies before Nick could win the next time around, right? And so I'm trying to avoid. I'm trying to jump in and help Bronson so that doesn't happen.
That bad shadow is back running again, only this time for a higher office. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I get to say that on the air because I'm on the air.
Yeah. Well, somebody promised a lot of money for her. You know, Chuck Schumer, I guess, said 50 to 70 million for anybody that would run against Dan. So I guess Dan must be doing a good job because he's angering the people.
If you got Chuck Schumer that mad?
Yeah, must be doing something right.
You're doing everything great.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. So, you know, hopefully we're trying to raise some money here in the next couple of weeks and trying to build our support. There's going to be a lot of money from different people, some self-funded and stuff, but we're trying to raise some support because Dave has the best chance of winning, but with the midterms and structural headwinds, there's a chance that we lose this to some Democrats and some people with some bad policy, and that could be really hard for the state.
What's going to be your, I don't want to say job description, but your input amount during election? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, so I told Dave that when I did start to think about maybe saying yes, I said, hey, look, if I'm going to do this, I need to be have active. A serious voice and active.
Yeah.
I don't do things halfway.
No, you don't. Oh, really?
So
tell me something I don't know, Josh.
Yeah, right. So I've been pretty happy and impressed because he took that seriously. And so, you know, he treats me as a top advisor. So I have input
good.
On, he says, hey, this is the policy we're looking at for the pipeline. This is this. And I make edits and I make suggestions. And so I'm going to be that interior voice and I'm going to help coordinate for because he really, I don't know if I didn't know him that well when he was mayor the first time around, but he is very humble and very willing to listen. He listens to everybody and he takes feedback and suggestions. And I don't know if that he's always been that way or if winning and losing and having those hard fights, if he learned a lot, but he is just incredibly receptive to feedback and willing to identify, hey, here's an area I don't know the most about, whether it's fish and game, whether it's the interior, and then he seeks out people to give him advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really pleased at how receptive he is and the influence I'm able to have.
Good.
Does that answer a question?
No.
No, okay. I mean, the primary duty of a lieutenant governor is, elections. So we've got to fix our elections.
You have the Division of Elections that you oversee. You don't run. You oversee it.
Correct.
And you protect the seal of the state of Alaska.
Yeah. So those are the two, like, official duties. Mm-hmm. The unofficial duties are going to be being an advisor. And it says right there that, when you read it, that the governor can delegate other authorities to the lieutenant governor. And one of those is going to be, we're going to reform the permanent fund.
Let's just put that all off to the side.
Sure.
You're running for election.
Yeah.
Your job, as I see it.
Yeah.
You're the Fairbankson.
Yep.
In the election.
Yep.
Your job is to raise money in the interior.
Yep.
Get the interior Republican Party as much as you can behind your candidate for governor.
Yep. My job is to talk to everyone up here, all the people, all the leaders, and say
all the time
and say, look, you will have a voice in the government. The interior will be represented.
Where
your
do you
concerns
live?
Are I live off Chena Hot Springs Road.
So you're in District 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
You'll be talking to them.
Yep. I love Sally. She does a great job. I was there when she got voted into that position, and I've just been a big supporter. She's amazing.
And we have the district meetings in like the March 21st, I think.
Yeah, so they're
going to. You better have your candidate there.
Yeah, they're actually going to be at my building. So
I know that.
I gotta get that place cleaned up a little bit before.
There's no
up.
Conflict of interest of you bringing your candidate there to your building. Your home field advantage.
I told them yes before I joined. So
that's what I'd say too if I was on the air. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'd say. And which building is that?
So I bought
that. I'm helping you lease out.
Yeah. We've got some vacant spots, so call Mayor David Pruse here.
907-750-2888, my cell phone.
It's a commercial space right across from the state building on 7th. It's the old fire station, police station, and the old dance theater building. So the dance theater is still there and some other theater groups, but we got some other vacant space we need to fix up and get rented.
You see, I'm a capitalist pig political hack on the radio. We can get them all in at the same paragraph.
Well, I mean, they're all kind of related. We're here to grow Alaska.
Yeah.
And that means fixing up buildings and renovating them. And that means making sure other developers say, hey, this is a town I want to invest in. This is a state I want to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got to get that pipeline through. We've got to get a spur to Fairbanks. We got to get a deal locked in where we get cheap you know, clean energy, affordable energy. There's so many things we need to turn around, and governing at the state level is the same concerns. You just have more of them, but it's the same concerns that people living in Alaska have, and developers. Like, you've got to make it pencil out so we can build and grow and make this a great place to live and work.
There you go.
That sounded a little too campaigny. I don't know.
Get used to it. This is great. You know, you got a campaign now. I've never done that before. You know, the cocoon is opening and the butterfly comes out.
I got to just, you know, put up Don Young signs for years and help other people on their races. I've never had to
do that. I'm so enjoying this. Hold it now. I'm going to be a constituent. I want this and I want this. Yeah. And you got to deliver this. I don't care about anyone else. I want my thing.
Yeah.
Are you getting that yet?
Politics is not too much yet, but I'm kind of dreading that a little bit. I mean, on the one hand, it's important that people come to their representatives and advocate to improve their community. That's really crucial. Mm-hmm. The challenge is once you win, you're never going to make everybody happy, and so that's, I'm dreading that part of it. But what we have to do is find a way to stop arguing from our different sides and start finding a way to get things done. What's a solution we can all work towards and agree? There's a lot of these things. You know, cheaper housing is a bipartisan issue, right? There's so many issues that really transcend politics.
You know, you were on, still are on, the Finance Committee of the City of Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent you guys a lot of stuff to look at.
Yes.
I loved you guys, and I would never go to your meetings. That way I did not.
You dropped in a few times to say hi and get coffee.
And one time I put on the chalkboard, I put on $3.5 million, you know, and I circled it, figure out how to pay for that
tax increases.
Yeah, without tax increases, how to do the Marvin Roberts next payment. You know, you guys figure this out, because I know how to do it, but I want to see what you guys. But I would never tell you what to do or how to do it, because you and the people in the room were so incredible. And that's why I see Bronson and you operating too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you run large organizations, whether it's the city of Fairbanks, city of Anchorage, or the state. When you have a large enough organization, you can't micromanage.
No.
You have to pick the right people, give them the vision, and empower them. I mean, in the military, you know, people talk about like the fog of war and things get confusing. There's too many variables and chaos that happens. And so what the Marine Corps was pretty good at is they learned the commander's intent. Mm-hmm. The commander says, hey, this is the objective. This is what we want to have accomplished. And then when you get out there and the environment shifts, you always know what the goal is, so you can shift. Instead of just saying do X, Y, and Z, then when things shift, you don't know what to do, right? But if you know the commander's intent, you can adjust to face the different circumstances. And that's what you were doing, and that's what Dave has the executive experience. He knows how to do that.
Exactly. And you have the experience of looking at problems on a financial basis and solving them with a good think tank.
Groupthink. I mean, that's kind of how I got into finance. I'd grown up doing construction and buying properties and bidding jobs. And I look at it, I realized at one point, because I have you know, relatives that love, they're just craftsmen. And one day I was realizing, you know, I'm not the best craftsman. I can build stuff, but I just don't have that artistic flair. Then I have other people that they just loved running in my family, loved running businesses, right? And I was like, well, why am I doing this? Like, what part of this do I enjoy? Because I do enjoy it. I buy a place and fix it up. And then I realized, like, I really enjoy the puzzle, the problem solve. Mm-hmm. How do I make this bid work so we can, make money and get the building done? And how do I come in here and analyze this building and say, well, the other guy said we couldn't rebuild it because it was too expensive, but maybe what if we do it this way? No, that doesn't work. What if we do it this way? Oh, here's a way we can do it. And that moved to finance pretty easy, because you're evaluating, is this a good business to buy? Is this a good investment? And it's a problem solving. And I think government's the same. You look at the situation, say, how do I solve this puzzle?
Fairbanks, we're going to take a break and give you some bumper music from Aha, Take On Me. They're one-hit wonders of the MTV generation when MTV actually had music television. And let's see, then we're going to go into the Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather. But here is some Aha, Take On Me through the ears of an elevator music.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump's in Switzerland attending the World Economic Forum in Davos, talking about the Board of Peace he's created to oversee the Gaza ceasefire and rebuilding.
Well, we're going to have a lot. We have a lot of great people that want to join. It's going to be the most prestigious board ever formed.
Some Western European nations have declined to join this board. Others remain noncommittal. The president's charging nations $1 billion for a permanent seat on that board. The House Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Federal Government Surveillance looking into a public fraud scandal in Minnesota. Authorities have already charged at least 78 people in connection to this scandal. Prosecutors believe the total scope of the fraud could be over $1 billion. Chairman Andy Biggs.
These fraudulent actions have robbed taxpayer funds intended to feed children, support individuals with autism, provide housing for low-income and disabled Americans, and deliver health care to Medicaid recipients.
And again, the focus of this probe is on alleged fraud in the state of Minnesota. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a 47-year-old Anchorage woman has been arrested and indicted on federal charges accusing her of orchestrating a wire and bank fraud scheme that prosecutors say relied on stolen identities, forged checks, and fraudulent applications for COVID-19 pandemic-era rent relief. Dusty Starr was arrested last Wednesday for her alleged scheme, Department of Law officials said. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Alaska, Starr is accused of carrying out a scheme between February 2021 and February 2022, using victims' personal information to unlawfully obtain money from financial institutions and Alaska organizations. Prosecutors allege Starr used stolen identities to apply for COVID-19 rent relief funds, including submitting false information that portrayed victims as landlords seeking assistance for tenants who could not pay rent. In addition to the wire fraud allegations, Starr is also accused of forging checks belonging to Alaska organizations and depositing them into accounts she controlled.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Every day now at the Great Alaska Pizza Company in Fairbanks and North Pole, buy medium pepperoni or cheese pizzas for just $7 each when you buy two. The best pizza deal ever every day. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday offer is a dream come true, an evening ride in a dog sled through the Alaskan wilderness with North Star Dog Mushing. Your adventure starts at Ivory Jack's in the Gold Spring Valley. You'll get a kennel tour and a ride down the trail with the possibility of spotting the famous Aurora Borealis. You will create beautiful Alaskan memories behind this team of Iditarod race dogs. Get your dream adventure with North Star Dog Mushing for half price this week for 50-50 Friday.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
There's a new radio show echoing across the last frontier, Alaska Tracks. Alaska Tracks celebrates the heritage, landscapes, and deeply rooted traditions of life in Alaska. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zartke, Alaska Tracks brings you firsthand stories from hunters, bush pilots, trappers, scientists, artists, and elders who know the land, live the lifestyle, and keep Alaska's legacy alive. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode is a bridge between generations, between bush and city, between past and future. Alaska Tracks isn't just a show. It's a living archive, a celebration, and a call to stay connected to Alaska's roots. Proudly presented by KFAR Radio and supported by sponsors who celebrate Alaska's story. Rod Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 p.m. only on KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with a candidate. Go figure on a Wednesday. But his family is historically a Wednesday family that can be on here. You know, a pioneering family. Yeah, that's it. We're crossing over Tuesday and Wednesday because Josh Church, you can do that.
Yeah, pioneering. So the story I was told is my dad's uncle had the first tractor in the Matanuska Valley. Now, I wasn't there, so I'm not sure if that's true, but that's the story I heard. They were the pioneers, and they were the first one to switch over from, because he had a farm there.
From labor from the kids to a tractor?
The kids and the horse to a tractor.
Those were some happy horses and kids.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my dad always, I remember I was about 14 years old. And you know where the Hoodoo Brewery is?
Yeah, yeah.
My dad built that building.
Oh, did he? No kidding.
And I'm 14 years old, and every time I got in an argument with my mom, I would, you know, lose. But the punishment was, Dave, come with me. We got construction doing over here.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm out there, and I'm just knocking down. I didn't have gloves, so I'm getting blisters on my hands, and, you know, cutting down brush out front. And I go, you know, this is probably a violation of the Alaska child labor law. And he looked at me and he goes, when you work for your parents, there are no child labor laws. And I always remember that. Then I got out of college and had a couple friends who were attorneys. And he goes, your dad was right. Oh, my God.
Well, I benefited from that.
So your grandfather was right.
Yeah, I benefited from that loophole. When I was, I think I was 15, I might have been 14 when we built our first spec home to sell. It was just probably would have been 04 or 03 maybe. But dad looked around and like I could drive the kids who couldn't drive yet, you know, into McDonald's so they can start learning some work experience. Or there was a couple other options, but there wasn't much favorable. So he decided instead he was going to teach us and we were going to build a house to sell. And so we did that every summer for all the way up until college.
I've got the job of all jobs that a dad gives the kids.
All right.
My dad was the first operator of the Tanana Whiskey River and, you know, Whiskey, the railroad, the little train out of Alaskaland. And when he first started, you know, at A67, it was new steel on new steel, so it was loud.
Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So for the first month, every day, me and my brother Dane and my brother Danny would have to go out and grease the tracks. And so my oldest brother was in charge of us. And after about the first 45 minutes, the grease fight would start.
Yeah.
You know, and my dad would take us and he'd put us in the back of the El Camino that he had.
Oh, no.
Yeah, or a Ranchero. And bring us home.
Your
to my
mom was probably so mad.
Oh, she, you know, she's after about the second week, she's okay, you know. You know, she garden hose outside, but that's that was a family kid job of all family kid jobs.
I think I remember. I don't know if it's as good as your story, but Dad sent me up, climbed on top of the wall to cut this wire for some reason, and it was on, so it, you know, sparked pretty good. And then his comment was, well, you ruined my good wire cutters, you know. And the parents are always great for that, to find the
But working with your parents when you're a teenager of that age, 14, you are a young teenager coming of age and getting a work ethic.
Oh, it was a great experience. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Incredible. Getting, you know, great advice. You know, we hired like Charlie Jeanette to help us make sure we were getting those, even though you didn't need them in the borough to have the inspections, we did that. And so I got to learn, you know, how the proper way to build a building. And it was great work ethic.
No wonder why the first time I walked into your office, Charlie Jeanette was there for Beat Up the Mayor. And the first thing you said was something about Your revenue's not going to be going up as fast as your expenses. And I looked at everyone. I said, I don't fear a budget.
Yeah,
but you immediately went to the revenue and the expense side of the city of Fairbanks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think in numbers. Charlie's an old good friend, and he's helped us a lot over the years with a lot of different construction projects. And yeah, I'm a numbers guy. I look at what are we bringing in, what's the cost, what are, you know, and let's just figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah.
Which you did a good job when you were running the budgets at the city.
Yeah, it was interesting. My first budget, you know, everyone's used to a $300,000 surplus, and I bring in a $900,000 one, and I'm just looking at you smiling. I don't fear budgets, you know.
Yep.
And that's why I'm sort of happy if you and Mayor Bronson get elected, you know, you're going to look at budgets and say, this is wasteful here.
Yeah.
And we're not going to increase revenues. We don't get to. But that doesn't mean we're not going to expend our savings on things that are better.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to do a zero-based budget on the first, like, full budget we have. So once you get elected, you only have a few days before you come up with your budget. So that's kind of our
Really? Yeah, you're elected. You know, you're elected in November, and you got to have your budget by December 16th. So everyone usually looks at the past budget and says, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. So you're kind of, to some extent, stuck with that budget. You can make some changes, but but the next full budget, you've had a year. So that next full budget, we're going to say to all, through the executive authorities, the governor is going to say, hey, look, this next budget will be a zero-based budget. And that's a lot of work.
Explain what that means.
Yeah, so
zero-based?
Traditionally budget, basically we say, whatever your last budget is, tell us if you want more or less on each of those line items.
Yeah.
And of course, nobody really ever says they want less. The incentive is always for more. So you just kind of grow from whatever you have. And so you end up with this position where you have a department maybe that now needs IT guys, but instead they've got a bunch of plumbers, right? Because all the valves have been changed over and now it's actually they're controlling the plumbing system through electronically, right? And so you get this misalignment when we never go to a zero base where you start from scratch and say, justify every job, every position, every dollar amount that comes, you know, how many vehicles you need. And so you justify it starting from zero. And so we're going to do that once every 4 years.
Yeah.
It's too much work to ask the departments to do that every single year. It's not efficient, but it should be done periodically. And so that'll be something we can do executively. And then we can push the legislature to make it a statute for the next governor to do that.
There you go.
So yeah, that was a tangent, but you started saying, hey, you're going to look at budgets. I know that because I know you. And absolutely we are. We absolutely are going to. And we're going to look in detail.
Yeah. And that's the most – there's one thing the legislature has to do, and it's a date defined by the governor. Mm-hmm. You have to give your budget, I believe, by December 15th, period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in code.
Yep.
And the legislature, they only have to do one thing. They have to give a budget back to the governor for vetoes and signature. And last year, I don't remember the House ever until last year sending over a budget to the Senate. They surrendered.
Yeah.
They said, the House Democratic Party surrendered, and they sent over a budget that was $500 million red.
Well, we've been fighting about these same issues for ever since at least when I got back, and since 2016, at least a decade, really, we've been arguing a lot of these same. And so I think both sides are kind of surrendering. The last Republican Women's Club I went to, all the representatives from Fairbanks stepped up, all their senators and reps. And I feel like they were pretty defeated. Like, yeah, well, we're going to go down to the legislature and they're going to take your PFD and we're probably not going to get any cuts. And that's kind of the way it is. And so part of me getting in with Bronson is we're outsiders and we're going to come in and hopefully put some fresh blood and fresh energy and stop that defeatist attitude.
I was, you know, we talked about this earlier about the Kathy Geisel saying we need defined benefits program and then Senator Stedman saying, oh no, hold on. And then it made me think, you don't need a defined benefits program because at the city of Fairbanks, we looked at different programs that would
helped increase the revenue
and
for the cops.
When the firefighters rejected our they said they wanted it, then all of a sudden they didn't want it. They just wanted the money.
Yep.
And so my thought was, if you could define what critical areas you need and then do other avenues such as we're going to give them bonuses. These like if you need teachers in the bush, giving them bonuses. You need more troopers.
Yep.
Giving them sign-on bonuses. Yep. Things like that. You know, use financial incentives that do not put long-term harm on the state's finances.
Yeah, I mean the chagrin or frustration is every time we come up with a policy, the other campaigns are going to grab it and run with it. But I guess that's good. That's good for the state of Alaska. So we've already looked at, we've got a plan to implement a teacher student debt payoff. So basically, it'll have a vesting schedule, just like you would with a retirement plan. You work X amount of years for the state of Alaska, and we'll pay off that debt. And that actually, the numbers, estimates I'm looking at running, that looks like that's going to be about 40% of the last BSA increase. So it's not something we can't, it's not this crazy astronomical number. And if we can help teachers, and that makes it more attractive, so we have the best teachers here that want to stay here and teach, then that's what we need to do.
That's a great tool.
Yeah.
In the toolbox.
And there's a lot, and that's exactly it. We got to make sure we have the right tools and that those tools are sharp and clean and ready to use. And then we can turn these problems around.
Yeah.
Our problems are not so big that they're insurmountable. But if we just keep ignoring them and kicking that can down the road, we're going to be in trouble.
Or not trying to address them in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. Sometimes when something isn't working, you take a step back, calm down, think about it, and say, all right, what am I doing wrong here? How can I do this differently? And that's a huge part of it, I think.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Josh Church in the studio with me, running for the team. He's a lieutenant governor team of the Bronson Church team, and he's the first person from the interior designated as a lieutenant governor. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun, if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle, to ice tents, and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty, warm, and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. When Tuesday rolls around, Big Daddy's Barbecue turns up the heat. That's right. Every Tuesday, get Big Daddy's mouth-watering slow-smoked ribs for just $2 each. Yeah, you heard it. $2 for the ribs everyone in town can't stop talking about. Bring your friends, your family, or heck, bring your whole crew. At that price, why not? So swing by Big Daddy's Barbecue this Tuesday and stack your plate high with the best ribs around. Big Daddy's Barbecue, the northernmost southern barbecue on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd downtown.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 10 above. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 3 below. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. More clouds than sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 8 above. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It was about 2 weeks ago that I had Laundry House gang members in here, and there was this big announcement that Mayor Bronson's going to be up here on a Wednesday, last Wednesday, so it was two Wednesdays ago, and that the person he's choosing is from the interior, financial background, next generation, this, that. And so myself and Jen Uhas, we were, you know, she knew who it was, but
she's a spitfire.
But I didn't. And so finally I figured it out. And I go, I sent her a text, you know, with Wayne Heimer. We're talking about it. And I said, I think I'm going to have to go to church over this matter. And she gave me a thumbs up. So I thought, okay, I don't think it's going to be Seth. I think it's going to be Josh. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I confronted you at your building when we were looking at it. I go, is it, you know, as soon as I'm out the door of my car, is it you? He goes, yeah, don't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone.
Well, Dave said I wasn't allowed, not you, but the other Dave said said I wasn't allowed to tell anybody, but I can't really lie. So when you confronted me, I was like, oh, man, well, at least I know you won't spread it around.
I did not. Yeah. But it was,
and we had a good surprise announcement. I think there was quite a few people there, and I think people were surprised.
Yeah.
Hopefully in a good way.
I believe so. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, you were very good at your first public address like that.
Well, I was a little more emotional than I had planned to be. But
I didn't bring that up. You did. But it's an emotional moment.
Yeah, it hit me, you know, because I really do care about. I've been involved in the community, you know, like you mentioned, on the finance committee and some different committees over the years, because I think it's important that we give back to our communities. It's important that we serve. And yeah, my wife is a firefighter and a captain and a paramedic, and I've been in the military, and that service matters to me. And so it just kind of flooded back to me while I was speaking. And I think it's really, really important that we honor the people that serve as our cops and firefighters, and we honor the teachers, and we give them a good government. It's crucial that we have a government that works for the people.
True. And, true.
Yeah. We were talking in the break about financial management and you know, following up on your defined benefits question and stuff. And I've been fortunate to be part of the team that's helped design some retirement plans for the fire departments around here. And we've designed some plans that have great matches. I mean, double-digit matches for these firefighters, profit-sharing plans. And so there is a way to design and fix our retirement system so that we encourage people and we help put them on a path toward success. And so I think I bring that experience, and I'm looking forward to helping to solve some of these challenges instead of just the traditional arguments we've been having.
There you go. Where do you travel from here? What's your travel schedule like? And how many Alaska Airline miles are you going to get?
Yeah, I'm going to rack up so many. I've got to travel around the state. But one of the things I pressed on with Dave when I said yes is, you know, I have to limit my travel because I have all these responsibilities.
You have a business.
I have a business.
You have a family.
I have a family.
You have a test.
I have a test. I'm still on the city finance committee.
Yep.
My new child is 3 months old. There's a lot of things I've got going on.
I'm 39. I'm almost 40.
But one of the things he said to me, Dave, when he agreed, is he said, look, yes, you'll have to travel around the state, but your primary role is to win in the interior and help me govern from the interior, right? And so most of my responsibility is right here connecting with the people of the interior to make sure that they pick him. He's the lead guy in the race and he's the right guy to govern. And then we bring the concerns of the interior into and the expertise from the people in the interior into that government.
There you go. So what you're saying is you're going to be here a lot.
I'm going to be here a lot. I'm going to be traveling a lot, going to all the district meetings and stuff like that, try and hit everybody before the convention, and go to all the Interior Republicans and the Women's Republicans. There's a lot of different events. And then I'm going to start, once I knock down those, I'm going to start just walking around to the business owners of the town and different places and just, you know, being present, because it's important that we get a higher voter turnout for a couple of reasons. One, we want to win, but two, we can't have our elections devolve where we've got 10, 15, 20% participation. This is our government. It needs to govern for the people, by the people. So that means people need to be involved, right? So I need to make myself accessible, and we need to get everybody involved in the process.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Here you go. You ready?
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Josh Church, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
Hey, Randy.
Hi there. I was listening to the Michael Dukes radio show today, and he was reporting that he's hearing rumblings of a possible state sales tax. I don't know about a state income tax, but
I just don't foresee that getting past the governor without vetoing it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what's your position on it? Let's say we have a big deficit, and they say, well, we need a state sales tax or state income tax. What is your position on that?
Yeah, so Alaska's really expensive to live right now. And any sort of tax is going to make that even more problematic. The problem at the populations of Fairbanks and Anchorage have been declining, right?
Randy, I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Josh is on the finance committee. I walked into their meeting at 7 o'clock one Tuesday or Monday morning, and wherever. And I said, "You guys need to find me 10% increase in revenue without raising a tax." So he's used to doing that side,
yeah.
Figuring out better revenue enhancements versus taking it out of a citizen's pocket.
And that's exactly it. That'll be our challenge, because what's going to happen is if we don't solve these problems, eventually some governor, some legislature is going to put more taxes, and then people are going to move out. So we've got to fix these problems so that doesn't happen.
You know, Randy, there's another story I'm going to tell you. Someone was telling me about 8 years ago that when we started going into the revenue decline under, the crash of prices of oil, they're lamenting the fact that they wished we had never stopped the income tax. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I said, if we would have kept the income tax, it'd be exactly where we are at now, because we would have sort of wasted the money on something else.
Yeah, people forget, like, they think it was 25% of the revenue, but a bunch of that has gotten pulled off. So really, the number is closer to like 12 or 14% of the oil revenue is what's funded the permanent fund. So the other 80, 88%, 85% got spent, basically.
Yeah.
So we're living now on the small amount, a little more than 10% that we've saved.
Even if they would have had an income tax, they would have spent the money.
And for some reason, even with all that spending, we have the worst education results. We have the worst infrastructure in the country. So more money doesn't necessarily solve the problem unless you fix the underlying inefficient management and structural issues. You throw more money at it and you just end up in the same place.
You know, you have some good representatives out there, some good state senators.
Yeah, yeah.
And my hope is that when you're elected, I believe we have a high percentage of being elected.
I think we have the best chance in the race right now.
Yeah, and that you can meet with them and outline the objectives of a strategic plan.
Yeah, so we've been working on that already. And actually, Michael Dukes has been on his radio show different times lamenting that people aren't talking about a strategic plan. So I said, hey, well, put me on because that's all I talk about. So I'm supposed to be on his show later. I've already been talking with Bruce Tangeman. I've already been talking with Bart Lebon and Will Stapp and different people, current and former representatives and people on the Finance Committee, people, commissioners of revenue. And we have a financial plan, and we've been shopping it around and getting feedback from them. And most of these people are on board and saying, hey, this could work. So that's our plan, is to build coalitions and go in there and actually govern with a plan that everybody can get on board with.
Now I tell something I have to tell every upcoming politician.
Uh-oh. I'm buckling
in. We have 2 minutes left. How do you want to end it?
Well, if you want to learn more, go to Church Bronson or bronsonchurch.com or davebronson.com, bronsonchurch.com. That's the website. And we're going to be putting issues up there. That Bronson also has a Facebook page. He's released a troweling video. We're always releasing new stuff. Or you can call me, 907-687-5597, 687-5597. I live here. I work here. And I'm happy to talk with you about your concerns and meet with you and get you on board. We are the team that has the best chance to win on the Republican ticket, and we need to consolidate support early. Otherwise, we're likely going to lose this just like we did after Don Young passed, and then we'll have the wrong person in, the wrong policies, and no vision for the state.
You have another minute.
Well, all right. I'm here to get to know you and make sure that I fully understand all your concerns and to make sure that you have a voice. He's not just some Anchorage politician. This is an Anchorage Fairbanks team. So this is a whole of Alaska approach. And get involved, get on our team, help us win, and help us turn the state around so that this can be a great place for my kids to grow up and for yours.
You're an operator, not a bureaucrat. You want to know why?
Well, you
only needed 1 minute to do
efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Josh, great seeing you. Couldn't wait to get you in here.
Yeah, thank you.
And this congratulations was great. on your quest.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge.
We'll have you in here again, sir.
Thank you.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday with Pastor Derek Dickinson, and he has his program he does annually. We're going to talk about that.